Right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Monday, April 3rd, 2017. And this says, before the first cup of jewels here on UCY.TV, happy Monday, everyone. It is a pretty warm 51 degrees and overcast here in upstate New York, but it was beautiful. It's in the 50s yesterday. It's supposed to get up into the mid-60s today. I think spring has sprung. This is a very, very fruitful weekend of cleaning outside and inside. All right, where do we leave off on Friday? We titled the show Microwaves, Lasers, Star Wars, Zombies, Energy Weapons, and Voice Clones. We talked about all kinds of things. We've spent the last, almost 2 weeks looking at directed energy frequency manipulation. And some of the things that they can do with that, voice of God weapons and sonic projectors, pulse weaponry. We're going to dig a little bit more today. I was going to totally change topic to give my brain a break because, guys, this is pretty heavy-duty stuff. And to be completely honest, I have personal stuff I need to get done, like cleaning the yard and taking down all the curtains and, you know, all the typical stuff that you do in spring when the weather starts to spring. But I'm here today, so applaud. I'm going to applaud you for being here, too, because it's Monday. Mondays are always tough. But we'll dig one more day, and then if you guys get bored, we'll hop to some other stuff for a while until I can catch back up again. So Friday, we talked about a bunch of different things. We know that DARPA is running this Spectrum Grand Challenge. They want someone to build them some code where they can let an AI or a super intelligence multiplex between all of the radio spectrum frequencies instead of having any type of standardized licensing like we currently do now. That way it'll allow them to get rid of quote-unquote waste and propagate radio projects. And I mean, it's more than radio. It's all the different spectrums being used in ways that we couldn't even imagine. And remember last week, maybe the week before, we had gone through and took a look at Bell Labs in depth and some of the inventions that they even had back in 1925. A lot of this stuff was dealing with frequencies, with voice, with multiplexing, with communications, with microwaves. That's kind of what, that's that little thread that we pulled, and the whole sweater's unraveled. He's naked now, but we're going to get to a naked Rumsfeld here in a few minutes, because this is the reason why I decided to continue one more day on here. I ran across some stuff this weekend while I was watching a documentary. I was trying to find something good to air today, and I don't know, I got caught up in so many things and tried to do family stuff and get my spring cleaning done and quit smoking. So it has been difficult. I didn't happen to get to that. I just happened to watch a couple good documentaries, but ones that weren't suitable for air. But I'm going to tell you, I saw there was one homemade documentary that someone had put together a whole bunch of really decent clips about directed energy weapons. In one of the clips, I'd caught something. I was like, wait a second. Isn't that Rumsfeld? Wait a second. Isn't that Norah O'Donnell? Norah O'Donnell, if anybody pays attention to mainstream news or Pigman clips or anything, she was always on the CBS This Morning. Well, apparently Norah O'Donnell in the early 2000s was part of the press corps, and she worked for NBC, and see this person questioning in this clip in this documentary Donald Rumsfeld, and it must have been during one of the Gulf Wars, about directed energy weapons. And it only was a quick glimpse, but I knew it was Nora because I saw her eyelashes. But I dug around last night and I tried to find the whole clip. And not only did I find the whole clip, which of course I can't play because Skype does not allow me to anymore, but I will be putting in the notes, but I found the transcript, and the whole entire story behind what they were talking about. And guys, what's disturbing about this is that this was at least 2003. And I then have since found evidence that potentially, according to another story, even back to 1991, where they were toying already with directed energy weapons. And I was talking to a friend last night, and he had mentioned some sort of highway of death. I guess that was in the first Iraq Gulf War with Bush Granddaddy Bush, Bush Daddy. And there were questions, and I don't know. I was digging around. It was really late last night, but I was digging around to see if I could find any evidence. But I guess in the very end, I don't remember who the DOD head was, but he had directed them to get rid of any vehicle on that road to Baghdad, and they just killed everybody. And I guess pictures of the bodies showed some very unusual markings. I couldn't really find too much of anything, but remember, that was pre-internet, really, 1991. That was when we were just installing token ring networks, so pretty long time ago. But come to Gulf War number two, and there was something more interesting that appeared. So we ended the show. We covered a couple stories about the Department of Defense and some of the new research that is going on. 2014, we had a story about how the Air Force was awarding $40 million for electromagnetic research and weaponry. They wanted to use it for search and destroy, detecting targets, mounting on unmanned aerial vehicles, and that type of thing. You know, we've even talked about, oh, how scary, lasers on little drones. Guys, that is nothing compared to what I ran across last night. And if this is true, this is the most horrifying, awful, horrible thing I've ever read before. Now, I mean, I guess in my mind, but when I started reading, I was reading a transcript last night with doctors who were actually at the hospital after the supposed quote-unquote experimental weapon was used. And the doctors described a really horrific scene, and everybody's eating breakfast, so I probably shouldn't tell you too much. But hey, as of, and here, listen, if this was 2003, and then when did the Gulf War II start? I don't even remember. It was probably after, what was 2001? Because it was 9/11, and then maybe they waited until the beginning of 2012, because that was September. And I know he waited a while, and they were trying to pin it on a few other people before they picked Saddam Hussein, and then just went all crazy. But so let's say maybe 2002 is when they started. So in 2003, you're already hearing about experimental weapons. In 2003, you're already having journalists question Rumsfeld about experimental weapons, and I'm pretty certain that the journalist must have heard about the occurrence that I read the transcript about last night, because otherwise she wouldn't have been asking about experimental weapons. They even mentioned the clip with the journalist and what she asked Rumsfeld. But even more scary, so there was, let's say, 2003, even benefit of the doubt. The story we read Friday was from 2016, directed energy weapons making a great leap forward. Now, if we're making a great leap forward in 2016, and we've already read about Russia working on all kinds of 21st century newfangled weapons, including genetic weapons, which, like I said before, that would make a lot of sense then as to why DARPA has an RFP out looking for someone to help them build a digital rights management for your genome. This is a horrifying world. This is even worse than I imagined. I didn't expect to have people that are just like blown to little bits, cooked with body parts everywhere and limbs and heads cut off inside of a bus, or their heads baked off. Like, I've never in my life heard of such disturbing horror outside of a horror film. And I mean, I guess with things such as napalm and chemical weaponry and that, there's some pretty horrifying things. But and this was in broken English that I was reading this. Iraqi doctor, broken English. But Rumsfeld and the general, when questioned about potential experimental weapons use in Iraq, said that they don't take it off the table, that there might come a circumstance when, hey, they might need to use something experimental. And they weren't going to take that off the table. And the most interesting thing about every bit of that was that you could see Rumsfeld is wringing his hands. Oh, hold on. He's wringing his hands. And then the general, Myers, you can see he's looking at Nora. And at the very end of that clip, he takes his index finger and he almost makes it look like he's going to scratch his neck, but he does a cut right across his neck, like telling Nora that is enough questions about experimental directed energy weapon use in Iraq. It sent chills down my arm. Guys, this was 2003. So if we're talking in 2016, we're making huge strides. And we know already that they have these towers everywhere. They have HAARP. They have satellites. They're launching 5G and CubeSats. They got experimental towers with 100 kilohertz in the New Mexico desert. We got Google. We got Facebook. We got Amazon. We have all these connections between these corporations and the military, academic, industrial complex. We got Tommy Incel. We haven't talked about Tommy in a long time, but Tommy's going to be a big player here in the future as we are all diagnosed as mentally defective. I don't know. Maybe some of us will just think too much. Maybe some of us will start hearing voices in our head. You know, it just is so unbelievable because we ran across a bunch of studies. I don't know if I've covered them all here. This is a really deep subject, guys, and it's really hard to deal with in 1 hour little chunks and pick it up the next day without sounding like a lunatic if you don't back up and repeat much of what you said to establish what you're discussing. But I'm going to tell you, I find it very plausible, as do a bunch of other researchers. I saw the leading authority, I don't know, he was a Chinese guy, working in one of the universities here. I don't know. Could be anybody. But I was watching all kinds of clips this weekend. But they said he's the world's leading authority in microwave technology and sonic hearing. And he was actually sitting in a chair. And he was doing experiments on himself. There was this little clicking and chirping noise, and he was pushing buttons in different frequencies, and he was the only one who could hear it. And he said, even to everyone else, that absolutely there is science behind it. Now, anything that they are working on for the Air Force or any of the other military branches, I'm sure is highly classified. And there was something that I was reading yesterday that had said that any of the stuff, even still from back then, is pretty much still classified, which means that yes, they have been doing something. But in 2016, they already announced that Lockheed Martin And we have a guy working with Hockey Burn that's been there since 1974. So these are probably some of the very same people that worked on the very same projects that we are talking about, i.e. Gulf War 1 and Gulf War 2. Well, they admitted that they are working on the development of beam control technologies for high-powered laser-directed energy systems. Now, just from our imagination, we would probably be able to guess that a laser beam from space, because they are working on mounting these things on satellites, probably on aircraft as well, and unmanned aerial vehicles. Like you said, they have towers and things that maybe can be repurposed or retuned. And remember, directed energy is not just a laser beam. That's just one little tiny fraction of the spectrum. We have every single one of these technologies now in the electromagnetic spectrum that they are learning to weaponize. You know, back in the old days, used to use bullets or bombs or missiles. I was reading something yesterday. We're talking about kinetic weaponry. So it was always something that was being fired with force behind it that would then pierce a body, that would then kill it or damage it. But we're not talking about any type of kinetic weapons anymore. Now we are talking about energy weapons, being able to use an invisible force that doesn't require mass to take people out, to injure people, and to influence biology, whether it be messing with your brain waves. And I think I pretty much established in my own mind that yes, these can affect the brain waves. These very low frequency and extremely low frequency bandwidths at the very far left beginning of the electromagnetic spectrum all correspond with frequencies within the human brain, within the human body. You start moving up that spectrum a little, and that's where you get into the hearing in the VLF range, and you could do some sort of sonics. That's your literal audible range. And then once you start moving up the spectrum into where they have AM broadcasts and FM broadcasts and then television broadcasts, once you get up into the FM, right on the border of FM and then into TV, you start reaching into microwaves. That's also where you get your radar bands, your K bands, your X bands, and all those other things all fall. And that's where the military, a lot of the military surveillance is happening in the air and in the sea or in those bands. But we also have all the communications. Remember we talked about that's even where our old cordless phones. We had 900, actually I forgot about that, the 900 megahertz phones. Then they went up to the 2.4 gigahertz and the 5.8 gigahertz. Also your wireless routers that you're connecting Wi-Fi to, that's the same frequencies that they're running at. 2.4, 5.8 gigahertz. Your microwave oven, 2.4 gigahertz. Your cell phones, it depends on the manufacturer of your cell phone, but somewhere in there, one of those bandwidths, each of the different cell phone providers has a licensed band that their phones talk to. Most people don't realize that those are also all microwave electromagnetic spectrum. And we use those tools every day. Well, those same spectrums, those same bandwidths, have been used by the military for a very long time as weaponry in testing, spying. We found out, you know, I mentioned it the other day. I don't know if we ever talked about this, that Kellyanne Conway, one of the Trump White House people, I don't know. I don't really even know who she is or what she does, but I remember they were all making fun of her because she said that microwaves are spying on you. And I know I mentioned this the other day, but I didn't get into why I was upset that, I mean, talk about fake news. The mainstream media is all laughing at her. We got Colbert. Let's make fun of her. SNL probably did it too, far lefties. But why don't you guys do a little bit of research? Because, first of all, you know, smart everything, smart homes. We've talked about that. I wouldn't be surprised for a camera to actually be in the microwave. Cameras are in everything else. Probably not yet, but someday, how hard would that be? Not at all. Probably even talk to you and warn you about calories on your hips when you're trying to put that popcorn into the microwave, tell you that it's got some poisonous BPA in the bag. You shouldn't eat it, Johnny. But the other thing, well, Kellyanne Conway, I mean, if she wasn't really technical, but she had been maybe party to some press briefings or whatever, or done a little research, your surveillance, she might have run across the fact that microwaves can actually see through walls and spy on all kinds of things. I mean, maybe she assumed that it meant microwave. We had one of the, I remember who it was, one of the directors had made a comment about your smart appliances at some point spying on you, and she like kind of said, oh, well, I assumed he meant microwaves or whatever. Maybe he even said, like, one day your microwave could. It's just ridiculous because I hate to tell you, yes, one day your microwave could, but they do already and probably have for many years have microwaves that can spy on you. And like I said, not microwave ovens, microwave frequency. I.e. your cell phone, i.e. your cordless phones. Oh, what, your wireless router? Yes, we had read about, even maybe 6 months ago or so, about how they were using Wi-Fi routers to determine the emotions of the people in the room. Do you remember that? They were bouncing those signals off of the people in the room, and they could read your heart rate and your respiration and all kinds of crazy stuff. Well, there was another story, and this one was 2015, and that's why I thought to myself, you know, you fake news people out there who claim to be touting the truth, when you start making fun of someone and discrediting the fact that there is no surveillance with microwaves, and I see from 2015 out of IEEE Spectrum, which is a foremost authority in some of this technology, this high-tech 21st century discoveries and things that are going on, you don't even know about this. MIT's 3D microwave camera can see through walls. October 14th, 2015. So this isn't even laser beams burning holes through skulls or dismembering body parts or reading thoughts or voice-to-skull technology or voice-to-God. No, no, no. This is just being able to completely see through walls. Visible light is all well and good for things like eyeballs, but here at Triple E, we do our best to cover the entire spectrum. Ding, 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 ding. I just can't believe that they made fun of her, and not one smarty pants, I'm so special mainstream media reporter, dug up the fact that they can surveil you with microwaves. Not one of them. Not one that I saw, anyway, mentioned the microwave spectrum or any of the history behind it with the DOD or any of the other stuff that they've done with it or potentially doing in the future. Nope, not a word. Go back to sleep, people, because it was all a big joke. That Kellyanne Conway, she must be a lunatic. Microwaves don't spy on you, wink. Just unbelievable. Like, it makes you want to literally stand on whatever the highest thing you can find and just start screaming. How can people, and I'll tell you, I don't want to get too off base. I did so much mind melding this weekend that there's just, I'm going to have to break on this topic, I think, after today for a little bit. I saved all my links so that research will not get lost into oblivion like used to happen to me when I would stop a topic. But it needs time to percolate. It needs time to sit there and steep and let all the juices mix together so I have some aha moments and more puzzle pieces fell into place. And right now, it's just lots and lots of facts. And it's just me that keeps telling you, yes, 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 we have directed energy weapons. But if anyone else was interested in this, you probably watched the 10 million other things that are already out there because I'm coming late to the game. And I'll tell you why. I never paid a lot of attention to this. I always tried to pay attention to the stuff that was tangible, to stuff that I could look at, the real-time research that they already had studies, and there are a bunch of universities working on it. And they're like, look, 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 now we're going to bring a commercial, because that was not quote-unquote conspiracy theory. This was still kind of out there for me. And I guess it wouldn't have been out there had I really just stopped for a few minutes and taken a look at that beautiful spectrum map that I've been looking at almost every day for the last 2 weeks because it's so good. It shows even all the slices of the pie of the FCC spectrum, as well as all the bandwidths and how they're broken up and what things function within those bandwidths. That's helped me a lot to put a lot of these pieces together. But if you've been watching this for a long time, you would already know that there were some very logical people out there, and there's some people that are kind of out there, and there are some people telling some pretty fantastical stories that potentially are a little hard to believe. But if you've spent time and effort digging, digging, digging for the good and the bad and all of it, you probably have come to the same conclusions I have, that there is enough real evidence. Even if you just look at the military-industrial complex, I mean, now there's some reputable people coming out who have potentially been targeted. The Tim Kelly's interview, if you didn't catch part one, part two got ripped up on Saturday on UCY's YouTube channel, youtube.com/UCY TV, no dot. Our Interesting Times, Dr. Horton, I believe her name is, she was a CERN astrophysicist, I think that's what she said. And then she changed her academic concentration into complex systems that dealt with large corporations and that, and how things worked. And then some weird things started happening to her. But, you know, now they have some reputable people that aren't just people who they're trying to diagnose mentally ill coming out and saying that they're hearing things in their head. But there was evidence that those weapons, because now we've already found out that, there's the thing called the sonic projector. It was the voice of God weapon. We found out that they used that potentially in Iraq as well. So, guys, I am at this point now where I think I've established to my satisfaction, I'm pretty hard on myself, that this stuff isn't crazy fantasy. This isn't a bunch of crackpots sitting around going, oh, directed energy weapons. And I mean, back 5-6 years ago, that's still kind of how this was being painted. But no offense to anybody, okay? It's just for my analytical brain. Don't believe it because somebody tells you, because that's why I never really turned down this direction, because people were telling me, well, you know, directed energy weapons, you know, created damage or whatever. Now, I'm not saying that there are some things that people are claiming were directed energy that actually were, but I'm not going to discount it either, because I found already a few little threads that I'm pulling that show that there already have been some things that went into action that we might not have even been aware of. So, all right, I'm being all obscure here. Let's get back to this. Kellyanne Conway being made fun of because microwaves will never spy on you yet in 2015. MIT Technology Review already announced that they had something like X-ray vision that they were calling M-wave vision to see through walls. At MIT, they've been working on a prototype for a time of flight microwave cameras, which can be used to image objects through walls in 3D. Hey, so not just through walls, but through walls in 3D. Aren't you lucky? The microwave camera is sort of like a cross between a visible light camera and a radar imaging system. And within the microwave band, that's actually where a lot of the radar, like I said, and the different surveillance bands, the X band, the K band. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of different bands. If you look at that nifty little map, they give you all the bands. There's the X band. The X band is where they're doing some of the marine radio and radar as well. And I saw that they have a big platform off the landmass in the Gulf of Mexico. as well as I think there was one up in Washington or Alaska. So they found that kind of interesting too, that they had these offshore big radar balls on. It looked like a mining platform, but it wasn't. It was a radar platform. But like the radar, microwaves don't really need things or need to notice things like darkness or fog or walls. But unlike radar, they are not confused by the kinds of angled surfaces that make a stealth fighter so stealthy. Radar systems also tend to be big, complex, low resolution, and expensive. But by taking a more camera-like approach to radio frequency imaging, essentially treating microwaves like waves of light, and using a passive reflector like a lens, MIT has been able to leverage computational imaging techniques to develop a low-cost, high-resolution imaging system. Now, that might have been a little complex for any of the brains on mainstream television to be able to comprehend. So maybe that's why they never mentioned the microwave spying 3D images through walls. But hey, just let it be known that yes, there's a technology out there that at least has been announced. And I'm going to tell you, I'm pretty certain that they've had microwave imaging without 3D necessarily for quite a while because they've been messing with these things, like I said, since the 20s, 30s, 40s, I think is what we found, the 40s, World War II-ish time, with microwaves and microwave towers and Bell Labs and the military and all that other good stuff, satellites. They've been doing it for a long time. But now we have this newfangled technology. You could use it to like a picture. MIT's microwave camera can do 3D imaging using time of flight in the same way that Microsoft's latest Xbox Kinect sensor works. The time of flight camera sends out bursts of microwaves and then keeps careful track on how long it takes for the microwaves to bounce off of something and return to the sensor. So, by the way, guys, that's exactly how that Wi-Fi motion detector worked as well. Wi-Fi is microwave. So maybe it was the same camera. They just hadn't told you about it yet. And they built it into Wi-Fi routers or something. Like, how insane is this? And to make fun of Kellyanne Conway, and I'm not saying that she's any genius or anything, because I think she's kind of ditzy if I remember correctly, but you can't, there is nothing today. There's no newfangled technology, here or not here, reality or fantasy, that I can't foresee in the not too distant future. With the way things are going, that won't be a possibility. I wouldn't be laughing at anything right now. Like I said, laser beam eyes and minotaurs at some point coming out of Chinese cloning labs where they've CRISPRed things. That's not even a fantasy. Guys, we're going to have a bizarro future on our hands at some point here. And I want to look at some of this weaponry. And I better get moving here because otherwise I'm going to run out of time. But it's not just us. There are also stories about Russia. We read about Putin already talking about spectrum weapons and, like I said, genetic warfare and things of that nature. What kind of a world is that going to be? I'm going to be walking like Bubble Boy in this bio suit with tinfoil in it to protect us from the electromagnetic waves. I just don't even, like, my mind is having so much trouble. Because it's way worse than I mean, here we're talking about the coming of the robots and the integration of man and machine and all this other crap. And of course, the man and machine integration is going to be the golden key that will protect us from all this stuff. It's your biology that's at risk, people. So you got to get rid of it. Then you won't be victim to any of these newfangled technologies. You'll just be a robot. We'll make you out of tungsten or something so you don't melt easily with the sky lasers. I mean, what? But like I said, even though I just spouted out a bunch of crap, guess what? That's a very possible future at some point. There's the fundamentals and science are already there. All it's going to take is another lunatic and a few million dollars from some rich tech billionaire, and bang, you got another crazy invention that can be used to enslave humanity. So, anyway, to finish off with these 3D microwave tell-all, show-all cameras that work just like the Xbox Kinect and that can read your emotions that we've established previously. They said that they can calculate how far away something is by using not very fancy math with the speed of light. And MIT's camera has a temporal resolution of 200 picoseconds, so it allows it to resolve distances, so it could tell your distances as well, with an accuracy of 6 centimeters, which is definitely usable for 3D imaging. And, you know, if they look at infrared, I'm looking at a few differences. There are some mannequins, and they're showing a mannequin. It almost looks like it's in infrared, in the spectral imaging. And you've seen them before with some of those heat cameras, right? You get the little bobs of blue and yellow, and then where the heat is, you get the orange, yellow, and red, right? And those thermal cameras. And they're showing kind of how fuzzy they are. And you can still kind of see their outline. You can see where a heart would be on a person. But here's the insanity. They're showing it with this microwave camera, this mannequin. There's one unobstructed, which means there's no wall in the way. And they just took a picture. And it looks like a mannequin with tinfoil on it. It literally does. And then they show the next picture. Is a mannequin with a picture with his microwave camera taken of it through drywall, and it looks almost identical to the first picture, which was unobstructed, except maybe a little bit grainier, not even a lot, just a little bit grainier, like maybe I had a lower resolution camera instead of being super duper HD. But I mean, I can see it as if it were a photograph. And then the third picture of that same mannequin, except this time the picture is taken through plywood, and it looks just as good as the very first picture, which is unobstructed. Now, if these are examples of what this camera takes through walls, guys, we might as well not even have walls, because we might as well not even wear clothes. I mean, this is beyond horrific. And now if we put drywall and plywood together, and maybe some plastic siding over it, and some shredded glass behind it, like insulation, that's about all we have between us and the outside. So there'd be no issue whatsoever driving down the street with one of these microwave cameras shining right at your house. As we go by, and we can be checking what everybody is doing late at night on a Friday at home, because we're law enforcement or whatever. Maybe we're spy agencies and we're bored. So let's get our jollies. I mean, what on earth is this? There is just absolutely, if this really is as good as I'm seeing here on this IEEE spectrum, some invention out of MIT, and we already have our homes full of microwave devices, i.e. our cordless phones, our microwave ovens, our Wi-Fi routers, and our cell phones. And then, you know, let's have external cameras so we can take pictures from outside. What on earth is this future going to be like for our children? How could you even prevent? I don't know. Like I said, I need time to digest this information. I need to sleep on it maybe another week or two and let my brain start coming up with solutions, because every day we're coming across something that makes me go, what? It says you can see the resolved 3D images at the tail end of the video above and in these pictures below. You could tell these mannequins have tinfoil on them. I don't know what the tinfoil is about. The mannequin looks suspiciously like it's covered in aluminum. This is what it says. This is almost certainly is, because in fact it is covered in aluminum foil. Doing this actually makes the mannequin more human-like because humans are very good at reflecting microwaves in this frequency range because we are just ugly bags of mostly water. So by covering the mannequin in tinfoil, it makes us approximately at the real thing. So the tinfoil reflects it back and it makes it. So you know what? The tinfoil hat isn't even going to protect you, apparently, because it makes you look more like a human full of water. All right, so I'm going to fast forward now because I have yapped for 40 minutes and we still have not gotten to the bombshell that I found last night. So we ended the show, very near the end of the show, with something about the Great Leap Forward and directed energy weapons. The DOD is dumping a whole ton of money into working on all these new beam technologies. Of course, they don't have to pay for ammo. It's going to be really cheap. And we find out that Lockheed Martin has been dealing with this stuff since the 70s and maybe even before. Los Alamos Laboratory has been doing crazy stuff for a long time as well. And they're interviewing this old-time Lockheed Martin engineer. Been there since 1974. They're doing an interview. They're saying that, you know, there seems to be an uptick in the interest in weaponized directed energy. He says, what actually are we doing here? And this engineer named Shattuck, 40-year engineer, says we are at the convergence of laser weapon technology maturity. In the new threat environment, like swarms of drones, and we talked about this on Friday, or small boats. They were talking about even boat swarms, autonomous boat swarms. It was another DARPA project. But on the technology side, government and industry are leveraging advancements in fiber optic communications. It all comes back to communications, people, because it was about harnessing the frequency, radio frequency, and the power scale from industrial drilling and cutting applications to beam combination techniques. Yes, industrial drilling and cutting. We got really good at that with lasers. Now let's turn them toward the ground and see what happens. That lets us create a high-powered laser beam. We are also taking advantage of data and image processing speeds from the video game industry. And did we not just read about the Xbox Kinect-like technology using Wi-Fi and 3D microwave cameras, wink, to make the beam control system more accurate and precise? And yes, we just found out, to 6 centimeters, 3D, that is how precise. But meanwhile, rockets and mortars and small unmanned aerial systems are presenting an increased threat around the world. Customers are looking for precise, affordable, rapid response firepower to defend against these threats, and laser weapons can fill the gap. Well, then sell me a laser weapon, Mr. Paul Shattuck, for my back deck so I can be shooting down rogue drones while they're flying over my backyard uninvitedly to do who knows what. I mean, seriously, then I think we all need laser weapons. I mean, what is this? I looked into them. By the way, they're really damn expensive. If you wanted to get a big sucker like the 100 kilowatt or 300 kilowatt, reports indicate, because I did a story about the laser drone taking downer machine that they were working. I could have swore it was in New Mexico. It's in some of the training fields in New Mexico. I think probably 2 years ago I wrote a story about that. But they had taken down a drone by just it just cut the tail off the drone. It actually was a pretty neat video. Reports indicate that your firm, Lockheed Martin, is fast-moving and leading development in 100 and 300 kilowatt laser guns for the Army and possibly the Air Force, and that they should be available and or deployable by 2022. Please give a snapshot of the technology and a few of the likely uses by the armed forces and homeland security. Well, Shatuk says Lockheed Martin has been investing in internal research and development funding to mature the technologies and integrated system operation. We started by developing a ground-based 10-kilowatt prototype using a commercial laser, a program that we call Area Defense Anti-Munitions, or ATOM for short. In 2012 and 13, ATOM shot down 19 small-caliber, quasim-like rockets and an unmanned aerial system in flight, and we also disabled 2 Zodiac-type boats. In 2014, we scaled up power by integrating our Lockheed Martin 30-kilowatt Aladdin laser with the ATOM architecture and beam control to create our Advanced Test High Energy Asset, or Athena, prototype. And in our early testing, Athena stopped the engine of a truck. And last year, we defeated 4 quadcopter drone targets. Last year, we also began production of a 60-kilowatt system for a U.S. Army vehicle, and that's the one that mounts right on the back. And you can carry it. It's like 3 big suitcases, but it is portable. That's the one I did the story on. The first laser was built using a modular technique. The Army has an option to add more modules and increase the power from 60 kilowatts to 120. We've demonstrated in our testing so far that these ground-based systems can defend against close-in rockets, mortars, and unmanned aerial vehicles. Well, are we going beyond terrestrial? Well, he says, we have also demonstrated air applications for laser weapon systems with our DoD customers. We developed the beam control system for the Missile Defense Agency's airborne laser that shot down a boosting ballistic missile in 2010. And that system used a megawatt-class chemical laser. But today we are looking at tactical missions that require that laser weapon systems be able to fire in virtually any direction, which means that we had to overcome the aircraft's atmospheric wake that would scatter the beam. And I told you they'd been working on that to get around diffraction and things that happen in the atmosphere so they would go straight. And I had already read that they had found a way around that using some sort of mirrors or redirection. In about 60 test flights of the Aero Adaptive Aero Optic Beam Control, or ABC, turret design for DARPA, ding ding, and the Air Force Research Lab, ding ling, we demonstrated that we can counteract turbulence, which is an important step for integrating lasers onto aircraft. And I would also think with that wave bending, like I said, I was reading about how that's going to come in handy when we put that crap up on lasers and we got to shoot it through the atmosphere. I don't know. There's only a couple more little question and answers. There was an energy summit last year that signaled the need for much closer stakeholder ties, melding government agencies, national labs, think tanks, DOD, industry, academia, to keep the U.S. ahead of threats. What do you think of those? Well, he says those connections are critical. So look, they are sucking our academics right into the military-industrial complex as well as the corporations. Come work for us. We'll keep you safe. Don't worry about how many people this is going to enslave and potentially kill. That's how we're going to get directed energy technology into the hands of our warfighters, he says. A great example of that was our ABC turret program, which was a partnership between the Air Force Research Laboratory, DARPA, Lockheed Martin, the University of Notre Dame, and the Georgia Tech Institute, as well as several small businesses. And we found that's kind of like DARPA's footprint, the way they work. They go in, they say, we have sprinkle funding. Who wants to work on this? And they put out an RFP. They get companies to bid on it, or they get a university, and they sprinkle funds. And they get all of our smarty pants to build it for them. And those smarty pants will have no control once it's let loose as to what happens to it. And hence, it ends up in the battlefield. Okay, so now let's get back to Iraq. So the story we were just reading with the scientist who had been with Lockheed Martin since 1974 talking about the new increase in research and development for directed energy weapons. Let's go back now to 2003. talking about the Gulf War. I really wish I could play clips because I even have the show. I wouldn't have to read you a transcript. Maybe if I put it on speaker, you might be able to hear it, but then I won't be able to jump around. This is out of Democracy Now. I'm sure everybody knows who Amy Goodman is. Well, Amy Goodman, back in 2006, was taking a look back at an incident in Iraq. That must have been around 2002, 2003, where they are accusing, potentially, the use of Star Wars-type weaponry. Now, we talked about this on Friday. Star Wars, what? Star Wars was ended during Ronald Reagan. I was in college then. I told you my boyfriend and his roommate got arrested being up on the roof of a building, doing stupid things on a Friday night, just screwing around, being silly. And they accused them of being Star Wars protesters back in those days. It was probably 1988 or 1989. And we supposedly did not develop Star Wars weaponry. Well, I hate to tell you, but it's very possible that, like I said, just like any of the other programs that wink, we stopped or never continued, like the biological weapons program in this country, I have a feeling that Star Wars went the same way, that there was lots of development on the QT. And then, of course, problem, reaction, solution. We have some big skirmish, and oh, look, we have these experimental technologies that maybe we'll give it a try because we have a good excuse now. Well, this broadcast, it says U.S. broadcast exclusive. Star Wars in Iraq. Is the U.S. using new experimental tactical high-energy laser weapons in Iraq? What? Well, it is very possible. So, Amy Goodman airs a little bit of a documentary. The documentary was produced by RAI Television, which I believe is an Iraqi TV station, maybe Iran, I'm not sure. But they deal with two doctors who are working in Iraq. And there was an incident. I don't know if it was one or two incidences, because I told you their English was a bit broken, where buses were hit by something. And there were large numbers of dead people, dismembered people, burnt people, people beheaded. They were brought into the hospital. It's a big jumbled mess. There were body parts. There were guts, like literal guts turned inside out, up on the ceilings of the bus. The driver of the bus wasn't dead at all. He was fine. But he had an arm and a hand in his lap and a head laying next to him on the floor. Like, I just couldn't even believe. And nowhere in, and some of the passengers that were brought in actually were still alive and not damaged. And the doctors were not allowed to see any of the dead people to do any type of, like, post-mortem examination. But they said that in anybody that they worked on, there was not one single bullet or bullet hole found in anyone. There's no evidence that any bullets were used anywhere. And apparently where this bus event happened, the soil had been removed from the ground and replaced with other soil. So you go through and they give some pretty graphic descriptions. 26 people on the bus. This was the lead surgeon, Saad Al-Falluji, S-A-A-D space A-L space F-A-L-L-U-J-I. He was the lead surgeon, they had said. He says 26 in the bus. About 20 of them, some of them have no head. They have been cut. Some of them, the arms, the legs, the only ones who didn't injure was the driver. And really, I don't know how he reached our hospital because one hand, one arm was in his lap, one head beside him. It was very, very strange, a horrible thing. And in the roof of the car, there were body parts of all kinds, intestines, brains, all the parts of the body. It was miserable. Very, very, very miserable. Well, do you have any idea what kind of weapon they used to attack that bus? That was one of the interviewers. And he says, this bus, we don't know what kind of weapon hit it. Really, what we saw were cut arms, cut legs, cut heads, abdomen, open abdomen, and viscera outside. It seems to be a new weapon, says Doctor Number Two. And then Saad, the surgeon, says, yes, a new weapon. And then Doctor Number Two says again, they are trying to do experiments on our civilians. Nobody can identify what the type of this weapon is. I'm going to tell you guys, that was when I read that and I was like, ding, is that the weapon that Nora O'Donnell, that I was certain it was her because it was a real young Nora, had asked Rumsfeld about? Well, sure enough, guys, here it comes down another two, three paragraphs. Nora O'Donnell asks to Donald Rumsfeld on stage 2003 in a press conference, Mr. Secretary, can I ask you a question about some of the technology that you are developing to fight the war on terrorists, specifically directed energy and high-powered microwave technology? When do you envision that you can weaponize that type of technology? And Rumsfeld says, goodness, it is in, well, for the most part, the kinds of things you're talking about are in the very early stages. He says, do you want to? And then he looks over to General Myers. Do you have anything to add? And General Myers says, I don't think I would add much. I think they are in the early stages and probably not ready for employment at this time. And Rumsfeld says, in the normal order of things, when you invest in research and development and begin a development project, you don't have any intention or expectation that you would use it. But on the other hand, the real world intervenes from time to time, and then you reach in there and you take something out that is still in the development stage, and you might use it, he says. And he was wringing his hands. You got to see the video. I'll put it in the notes. Your question is not answerable. It is. It depends on what happens in the future and how well things are moving along the track and whether or not someone feels that it is appropriate to reach into the development stage and see if something might be useful, as was the case with the unmanned aerial vehicles. And Nora O'Donnell says, but you sound like you're willing to experiment with it. And General Myers says,
this is Ozzy Skateboard, and you're listening to UCY.TV.